Hey guys, you're listening to Jack and Joe on the Last Set. Today we're doing the MMA Hour where we talk all things fighting. How are you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing great, man. That was a better tape than the first one you just did.
You're not supposed to tell them that.
Good job.
That's the beauty of the internet. You're not supposed to tell anyone, that we fucked up the first one. Or I fucked up the first one, yeah.
Learning curve, my guy, learning curve.
Man, all of this stuff is a learning curve.
But I was going to say, we're doing a lot better now. I mean, the first one we did, it took a while to get everything going. It took a while to set up, We had a pretty shitty table. We went and fixed the table. The camera's looking a lot better. The microphone's working a lot better. We got more notes now. So I'm excited, man. And just before we begin this one, I just want to give a quick shout out to my man, Matthew. Now when I was in IKEA the other day, Matthew literally just came up to me and he's an old friend who I've known for some time. He's hustling in IKEA right now and he's also working on his music. So Matthew, watching man, shout out to you, man. You keep grinding on music, buddy.
Alright, okay, so we were watching the co-main and the main event today. Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall. What do you think?
Oof. Okay, first of all, Mike Perry looks so much better without his coaches.
He seems to be like, they get in the way. He said before, whenever they say, like, move out and move away, he's like, what did you think? Oh, you thought, I never thought of that before. Oh, no, because I don't think he likes having a coach. He's very much like that kind of lone soldier. He kind of wants to do his own thing. And he doesn't want any input from coaches. He did all right. He did well.
He did good. I mean, he's always had that thing with his coaches. Like, I remember when Joe Rogan and Michael Bisping mentioned it in the podcast, they were saying Mike Perry, he's always had an issue of coaches and people telling him what to do while he was in the cage because they were, like, yelling. He was explaining, yo, go left, go right. And I'm like, you fucking hitting him.
I know. I don't think he liked it how someone was telling him what to do, especially when they haven't fought before or they're not in the cage themselves. That's understandable. I didn't think you'd ditch your coaches and just get your girlfriend of like 2 months to she didn't even know what to do as well. She was like, is this how we do it? She put the ice bag on his back and she was like, is this where you want it? Like, you should know. You should have had a little bit of a prep before, but
dude, we saw a photo of it right after the fight. It was him and she was holding up pads for Mike Perry.
Yeah, what did I say? I said it looks like a kid holding pads for his dad.
She was so tiny. Yeah. She was having her pads all the way.
She's like 4 foot nothing. So we watched Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall, absolute war, just like great. The fight afterwards. Must say though, Mickey Gall, he grabbed the fence in round one. Held his glove in round two and then grabbed the fence again in round three, and I don't know if the ref really did a whole lot.
No. Well, it was that beer and cigarettes, dude,
Don't call him that. Don't call him beer and cigarettes.
Just because Dominic Cruz says that doesn't mean he's actually on.
Well, when you're on beer, when you've had a few stooges and you've had a couple of pints, man, your reaction's slow. You know what I mean?
I don't think he did anything. I don't think he had anything beforehand. They didn't really speak about it that much afterwards, but I've so doubt he had anything in his system. Mm. I so doubt that. Mm. I think he was just upset.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz was probably sitting there behind Mike thinking to himself.
Because he was commentating. Mm. And I was just, and he was like looking, I could imagine him just like behind the, just trying to control himself.
Yeah. But like, looking at the actual fight, I was really proud with the way that Mike Perry fought. He had really good takedown defense. Like, he's learned. I know Mike Perry, he's coming off a couple of losses via submission. Not to forget, he busted his nose in one of his recent fights.
Yeah, his nose went into, like, a right angle. Well, he got submitted, was in the first or second round by Cowboy Cerrone.
Second round.
And then he's just said afterwards, hey, fair play, Cerrone. I've got to work on my jiu-jitsu. And you could totally see, especially his takedown defense as well, though, on top of his jiu-jitsu, because he's a strong dude. I was telling you, because he's a welterweight. Yeah. Welterweight. He could be a middleweight if he really wanted. Oh. If you compare him to, like, Robert Whittaker or something like that, kind of similar sizes.
Yeah, he's got, like, he's got that really wide, like, thick back and really giant shoulders.
Like Kamaru Usman.
Yeah, he's got that type of, yeah.
Yeah.
And the way that he's fought as well, he loves to use that right hook. He was throwing that right hand a lot. Mm. But not only that, but he was just eating shots. And there were times when his opponent was just literally just running from him. Like, there were times where he had to, like, move out of the way or try and dodge those shots. And here's the other thing. He did not look tired at all.
No.
He had a great gas tank.
In one of the rounds, actually, it was in, like, the last, like, 10 seconds or so, Mickey got him in a possible triangle.
Mm.
And a lot of people were like, oh, that's tight. And then he just slipped out. Mm. He did really well.
I mean, I'm excited to see where he can go from here, because the thing is, Mike Perry's young. He's only 28, you know.
Doesn't look 28.
He's still got a lot of fights under his belt.
Looks 35.
But he's a really, like, exciting fighter. Like, the reason why we just like watching him, because he just loves to have that slugfest. He's not someone who's more as precise and calculated. He's just kind of what the fans just want to see, and I think that's why people love him, because he just gets in there and just starts brawling.
He just gets in nice and close and just tries to get just enough in range that you can hit him and he can hit you. Mm. And he loves that. You can see he loves it so much. That's why he takes mad damage, because, like, you saw his nose in the last fight. It was like, it was up like that. He was looking up towards the sky, like, it wasn't looking good. He won decisively. He won every round, I'm pretty sure,
did,
right?
He did.
He won decisively. I think both of us predicted round 2 KO. Mm. But he actually went to the decision, which is really weird, because I was expecting, with the smaller octagon, Perry's big big right hand, that it was going to knock out Gall, but fair play.
Now, there was one thing that we predicted that was going to happen, but didn't actually end up happening, and that is the absolute Twitter war or Instagram war
against Darren Till. Yeah. So if you didn't know, Darren Till talking a little bit of smack. So we're probably not going to go into too much detail what he said. It's a little bit rude. Let's rather not say it. But he was making some comments about his girlfriend. And my parody didn't really like that. I think they were fine for a while. And then when he started talking about his girlfriend, he was like, no, I don't like it. And if you just look at Mike Perry, he got all the testosterone. God just, like, took three people and just went, I'm going to take all of your testosterone and put it into Mike Perry, and you guys get nothing. And you become little skinny people, and Mike Perry just becomes this big, monstrous man. Mm. What was it? But, like, he's such a strange character.
I mean, he's designing. Here's the thing. There's some fighters that are just literally just known for their personalities. Mm. Like, for example, there's one thing I always think about the UFC. Like, there's a lot of, like, very humble fighters out there, and they're brilliant fighters. But the ones that we take notice of, the ones that are the personalities, like Conor McGregor. Okay, so the biggest thing about Conor McGregor is that people argue, has he had an easy run? Is he really as good as he has cracked up to be? Because let's look at some of the facts, you know. Some of his fights were just completely one-sided. Dustin Poirier, he fought him when he was young, you know. Max Holloway.
Poirier had been around for a while. Yeah. Poirier had still been around for a while.
Okay. Well, he fought Max Holloway when he was young. Called that an easy fight. He fought Chad Mendes, but Chaz Mendes did not have a full camp, and he fought him on short notice. You know what I mean?
That one's questionable as well, because Chad, like, you saw the condition he was in, and they say, oh, it was really weird, because Chad always said that he's always working out, and he's always eating, like, the food that he kills and things, because he's a hunter like Joe Rogan and that. But on the embedded, Uriah literally said, hey, actually the best successes for Chad are when he has a lot shorter fight camps. Mm-hmm. Then when Chad lost, he went and said, oh, Chad rolled off the couch with no notice and things. I'm just like, I'll just pick a side.
Yeah. But the point is, I'm trying to make some of his fights that people have always critiqued based on the people that he fought.
I think they just don't like him.
Yeah, that's one thing. Well, it's an argument that goes on.
Exactly.
But the point that I'm also trying to make is that Conor McGregor is just, you know, if it wasn't for his personality, if it wasn't for all that smack talk, if it wasn't for all those, like, you know, outside of the ring controversies, he probably wouldn't be as popular as he is today. And I think
he wouldn't be as popular, and that's why Mike Perry and Dan Till did such a good job.
Yeah.
Now, their beef is a bit hectic, especially on Instagram, since he got blocked on Instagram, and then Darren Till just made another Instagram. I think he made a website called MikePerryIsABum.com. So he was doing a lot of things just to muck around. They're not even in the same division anymore. Mike Perry's a welterweight, and Darren Till's a middleweight now. There's no reason for the beef, and Darren just does it just to mess with him because he thinks it's fun. Yeah. Darren's like that. He just likes to take the piss out of him.
I honestly think Mike Perry could go up and fight him, though.
He's a heavy dude.
Like, when we saw him,
he looks like Kamaru. Yeah. Kamaru could move up if he wanted.
Yeah. Because when Mike Perry just fought just then, we were just saying they look like two completely different fighters. I mean, of course, his opponent, he was quite tall, had a reach advantage, but Mike Perry just looked so much bigger, and a lot of it was more muscle. I reckon if he just hydrated, ate a lot more better, you know, he still could have fought at a middleweight.
Here's a question. We were also watching Poirier versus Hooker. If you put Hooker and Mickey Gall together, wouldn't you think Hooker looks heavier even though he's in a lighter division?
Oh, man. Hooker's... Okay, first of all, I'm going to say that was probably one of the greatest fights I've seen this year.
Probably, I would say, and 100% one of the greatest in lightweight, because it was a war. Just like the first one, the co-main, this one was really good. Hooker's got such long arms, which worked really well in the first two rounds. He's very good at getting in and out of range, but he gassed a little bit later in the fourth and fifth.
I got a feeling it was because he was expending a lot of energy just trying to get the takedown. He did quite a few takedowns, and also, like, Poirier had his back for quite a fair amount of time on the ground. And then he was trying to, and then there was a lot of submission attempts by Poirier. Mm. And then I'm guessing he just expended a lot of energy just trying to hold it off. Now, one thing you also mentioned during the fight is that the way that Poirier fought, it was quite similar to the way that Khabib had fought.
He was doing some, so what he would do is he would hook up the legs with his legs and tie them up so he couldn't go anywhere. Then that one arm that would post up against when he was side against the cage. Khabib will do this. He'll wrap his arms around and he'll do that Sambo style where he yanks it and he brings them down and he pins it to there. So it's pinned on them and they can't do it, and then he just mauls them. He just goes with it.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Poirier just took a little bit of pointers from his Khabib fight and went, hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
So he's not a copycat. He used something that was really effective that's obviously working in the lightweight division. And it worked really well. I was going to bring up this, though. Hooker could not stop kicking kicking Poirier in the groin. He did it twice. Within 10 seconds, he went and kicked him in. And then he was like, oh, sorry. And then he was like, I guess I missed. I'm going to kick you in the groin again. Hit him in the groin.
And Poirier took it. He's got a sack of steel, my guy.
Whoever makes those cups, well done. They make good stuff.
Waved it up like it was nothing.
I know, but it was a proper kick. It was a proper kick to the inside thigh, and he just went bang. And then 10 seconds later, got kicked in there again. He was like, he literally went, oh, come on, man. 10 seconds ago, you just kicked me in the groin. You were like, oh, bet I'll do it again.
Yeah. I mean, not even that, but like, there was a photo we literally just saw just before we started rolling the cameras that Dustin Poirier is in the back of a paramedic saying 25 minutes paid in full. Mm. Like, here's the thing, man. We were also discussing earlier on, and we also discussed on the last podcast, which you guys should check out, by the way, about pay when it comes to fighters. Mm. Like, these guys, the amount of damage they are sustaining in 25 minutes. Like, I mean, hats off to all combat sports, but when you fight in the UFC, you know, you're getting punched in the face by, like, what, 4-ounce gloves?
Mm.
You're getting, like, mauled, slammed on the ground. You're bleeding from the eyes, and then you think...
You've got bad cuts. The cuts are the worst, because those are the ones that really take the time to heal.
Yeah. And then, you know, you end up in the back of the paramedic. I'm like, yeah, they should get paid a little bit more, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Maybe they just need some better investors, or they need some better contracts.
No, I think it's sponsors. Mm-hmm. They made so much money beforehand, then they brought the Reebok deal in, and they made so much less money. And now the Reebok deal is going up this year, I think. Mm. Are they this year or the start of next year? That deal is going off, and I'm predicting they're not renewing the Reebok deal. I think they'll go with Nike or Under Armour or something like that.
Under Armour would be a really, really good deal.
Even Onnit or Onyx or something like that. Those ones that make the different MMA gloves and that Justin Gaethje's coach does. That would be brilliant. So to talk about the Poirier and Hooker fight, spoiler alert, Poirier won, as you can imagine.
By decision.
We called it on Verdict MMA as well. So got a few points there. I didn't expect it to be such a war. I was expecting it Poirier to dominate Dan a lot more.
There was a lot of close range fighting, basically. There were times when...
Wasn't it? It was like fighting in a police box, in a telephone box, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were times where, Hooker, he would, like, get Dustin right up against the cage and just unload, like, an 8 or 9 punch combination. Mm. And then Poirier would just come back with just throwing, like, these mad hooks. Mm. And then he would just... It was good. And then by the end of the second round, we were like, Jesus Christ. Like, both fighters were literally bleeding from cuts at the cheeks.
I think we went and recorded as round 1 and 2 went to the Hangman.
Mm-hmm.
And round 3, 4, and 5 went to Diamond Poirier. So many punches were thrown. Mm. So many. It was a really good fight. It was just unfortunate, even in round 5, Hooker went and hit him in the groin again. Hit him in the groin again. He was like, seriously, for fuck's sake, stop hitting me in the groin.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we also notice now is that Dustin Poirier, he'll probably go up in the rankings.
Yeah. What was Dan Hooker?
Was 5 on the rankings.
What's Poirier,
number 3. So I reckon because Tony lost the last...
He might go above Tony. Yeah. But he won't go above Justin.
Yeah, and I think... Yeah, but the thing is, it's weird because in the rankings, Conor McGregor is still 4th, and he's not fought in lightweight in years.
He shouldn't be. I think the only reason he was still in there was because Cowboy has been a lightweight and a welterweight, mm-hmm. but I don't really see why it should be that. I thought that was such a good fight. Mm-hmm. Poirier versus Hooker? A good fight.
Definitely, it's money's worth.
I mean, 100%. That was so good.
I mean, there were heaps of, like, fighters in the comment on tweeting about it, like, saying fight of the year. Mm. But they usually do that when they have a war. But still, I believe it's probably one of the most exciting fights we've had this year. I'm thinking about right now, like, what is next for Dan Hooker? Because Dan Hooker has fought Paul Felder. And he's basically beat him, which was quite close, would argue.
I mean, it's okay with the decision that went with his last fight. I still think Felder won.
Mm-hmm. So he fought, and he's also... I don't think there's any chance of him fighting Conor McGregor. He just fought Dustin. Now, number 2 is Tony. I reckon Dan
Hooker versus Tony would be such a good fight.
Yeah, because both have like that close range fighting ability. You know, they like to fight.
I think there would be a big difference in height.
Yeah.
I think there would be a big difference in reach.
Not even that, but like Tony has such a weird body. Like,
he's so skinny.
When we look at Dan, he's gigantic.
Hooker's like...
It's like David versus Goliath.
Yeah, I think so. Do you know who was also commentating with Dominic Cruz? Michael Bisping. He's getting into a little bit of beef himself on Instagram with Chad Mendes. So if you didn't know, Chad Mendes he's about to come off his suspension. It was for 2 years from USADA, and it was for a steroid. Can't remember what steroid it was.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he said it was because of psoriasis cream. We don't know if that's true, but I would give him the benefit of the doubt. It could be his psoriasis cream. He just said, look, I didn't know. I should have known better. Weird that USADA picked that up anyway, but Michael Bisping was getting a bit of beef with him because he said, you know, you're a stupid steroid monkey. and Chad said, you know, just called him out on Instagram and was just like, hey, you know, don't talk to me like that. And he wanted to fight Michael Bisping. It was laughable, really, because I saw in the comments and someone said, all right, settle. Michael Bisping could sit on you and you could do nothing. And he was like, hey, that's the coward mentality that, you know, no one's too big. I'm like,
what do you think? If you think about the attitude of Michael Bisping, he's been fighting guys who are like basically on steroids his whole life. He even said like on the Joe Rogan podcast, like, dude, everybody's on steroids. Mm. Well, if you think about it, he juiced up Vitor Belfort.
And that's one of the first things that started messing around his eye.
Yes, yes.
Vitor's eye was his roundhouse to the temple.
Not even that, he fought, I think, Dan Henderson when he was on TRT.
Was he on TRT?
I believe he was on TRT.
That was when they allowed it at that point, yeah. I think.
So there was a time in the UFC where basically what they would do is that they would allow fighters to compete on testosterone replacement therapy because it was quite new. And I believe because it was passed off as like a legit medical condition. Mm. But the thing is, like, it's not hard to get onto testosterone replacement therapy. Mm. You know?
Not at all.
So that's just one of the cases. So you can sort of understand where Michael Bisping is coming from, considering he lost an eye for the whole sport.
He hates all of these steroid cheating dudes because a lot of his injuries, especially with the ones he's living with right now for the rest of his life, came from these juiced up steroid monkeys.
Here's the biggest excuse when you hear when it comes to steroids in UFC. Basically, they say it's a tainted supplement. I'm not sure I believe that.
I believe that to a degree because I think some of those companies are still allowed to make SARMs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way, because they usually test for osterine, which is a selective androgen receptor blocker. That is to deal with SARMs.
Yeah. It's just not that. It's just like, it's also, there's some guys who they just take stuff and they get caught because now with the USADA testing, it is like so strong that it literally just finds like a minimal, like what happened with John Jones. Mm. We're literally like...
Well, Sean O'Malley.
Huh?
Sean O'Malley. That guy doesn't take steroids. No.
That guy looks like he's completely malnourished half the time.
Well, he looked really malnourished during the Contender Series, but that's because he was on a 6 months vegan diet. And he came off that because he said, I was hitting him. I just didn't have the power. And he says he went to, I think it was like just a kind of like a nutritionist or something like that. And he went and said, hey, would I benefit from having, you know, 2 days a week of having some meat? And he said, yeah, definitely. So... I think he has like grass-fed beef and good food and I think jerky and things like that. He has things like that to just that increases meat consumption a little bit.
Yeah.
But he still is very much plant-based. He still has like, I think he has smoothies with like spinach and chia seeds for inflammation because he always has a really sore back. So that's what he has.
Yeah. And all, speaking about Sean O'Malley, he's been getting back to Twitter beef. He's been having a little bit of a Twitter beef with Peter Yang. You know? Basically, there was some... if you just like go on right now, basically, to Twitter. So basically what happened was Sean O'Malley is probably one of the most talked about fighters right now. He's the current rising star. He's a great prospect. He's got a great fight winning streak. But Peter Yang, he's fighting for the title. And Peter Yang and Sean O'Malley, they're both in the same division. So it could be a potential fight for the future, you know, because of Peter Yang, which I pretty much got my money on for his title fight, which is in a couple of weeks. And then he could go after Sean O'Malley, but I don't think Sean O'Malley's ready yet for the title shot. I think he just needs a couple more wins under his belt, and then I reckon he'll get it, you know.
Yeah, I don't see... He's getting a big with Peter Yan as well, but to be honest, he's actually fairly humble because he understands that like he still needs more fights. Mm-hmm. No, the one that he's calling out is Cheeto. He wants to fight Cheeto. It's a bit lower in the rankings. I don't see him wanting to like move up that quickly to somewhere near a title shot.
Yeah, he's been a little bit more patient considering he took 2 years off the sport. Mm. You know what I mean? Then he came back. Now he's doing a lot more, and now he's getting back into the swing of things. And he's building up a bit of a rep. And I think he potentially is a threat in the future, but just not now. I'd say give it another year at least.
Yeah, I know that he's trying to get a fight with Marlon Chito Vera. Who's 15-6. So before he fought, do you remember that Overeem versus Harris?
Oh, yeah.
He was fighting Yedong Song. Mm-hmm. And before then, he was had a 5 foot five fight win streak, mm-hmm. but he lost to Yunong Song. But apparently, I've heard that it's a bit controversial that he should have won that by decision. Mm. So, because I think Marlon Vera was the guy that Uriah Faber was possibly going to sub for, because mm-hmm. we weren't sure if he was going to make it or not. Yeah, because Vera comes from Ecuador. He does, yeah. There's not very many like Ecuadorian UFC fighters, I don't think.
No, there's not. I mean, that could be potentially a pretty interesting fight in the future. I mean, but we just got to see where it goes. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great fights coming up, you know. And throughout this whole thing, UFC has just stayed strong throughout this whole COVID-19. In Australia, basically, COVID-19 is everything's gone back to normal. Last night, the clubs were packed, man. The clubs were packed. I mean, personally, I wasn't out, but no. I was in Leederville with my girlfriend, and like the place felt a lot more vibrant. It felt a lot more alive.
Mm.
And I woke up this morning and checked my Instagram and Snapchat. And everyone was posting back in the clubs, and I mean, it feels good. I think a lot of people are really happy. A lot of people are really happy to be back, but also like, it shows just how lucky we are in WA, but all how hard working we are. I mean, in WA, we've had the least amount of cases. We had very, very few. We had a situation where a boat came in. It had, 16 cases?
Mm.
And then that boat was sent back. We had a case recently with someone returning from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But over in Victoria,
they've had a lot more cases.
It is a mess.
It was most likely the Black Lives Matter marches that occurred.
Now, we're not pointing fingers, but
we think possibly. Because it lines up too well for it to be such a big spike.
Yeah. And
to be fair, they may not have known. They may not have known. A lot of people are asymptomatic, especially when they're a bit younger.
Yeah.
We
support people protesting. We think it's great. Because the reason why I like protests so much, especially peaceful protests, is that it's like, it shows that you're actually taking affirmative action, because the biggest thing these days is, you know, everyone's just saying it out on social media, but social media just is not enough. You can't, no, we live in a digital age, but just simply posting something on social media doesn't really take any affirmative action. I mean, you believe it can argue that it's raising awareness, but if you really want to make change, like they made change back in our parents and our grandparents' generation, you have to get out there marching, chanting, holding signs, like making your voice, that's how you make your voice heard, because it's strength in numbers.
I'm really glad that they're doing it. The one thing I don't want to see is these police throwing tear gas and things like people are losing their eyes and things like that. A lot of them are peaceful protest. Just let them, as long as there's a difference between peaceful protesters
mm-hmm.
and looters.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to understand there is goodness on both sides, okay? Look, there are bad cops. And there
are a lot of bad cops.
There you go, a lot
in
of
America,
bad cops.
In America, for sure.
But my problem is, there's a lot of police officers putting on their fucking vests. Got to put on their bulletproof vests every morning, double up on armor, kiss the wife and kids goodbye, you know?
Don't know if they're going to come back.
And then don't know if they're going to come back, because some idiot's going to throw some rock at them while they're just trying to stand and protect something. And it's the side with the protesters, you know. There's opportunists, kids, basically, you know, just trying to take advantage of this whole situation. But the other thing that irritates me is that there's a lot of police officers out there that are with the protesters.
Mm.
And they're saying thank you. And they're hugging the protesters. They're taking a knee with the protesters. That is a really wholesome thing to see.
There are good cops, there's bad cops, there's good protesters and bad protesters.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I would probably put the bad protesters in not even the protesters pile. They're not even... Maybe bad protesters when they're vandalizing. Mm-hmm. They're vandalizing people's businesses and things like that. You need to be careful with that kind of thing, because when it comes with coronavirus, a lot of them don't have much money anyway. Mm-hmm. And their business is probably down the hole, and they're trying to just have their head above water, and you're vandalizing, you're breaking things, you're stealing their inventory. How are they supposed to survive? That's how they put food on the table. So look, I'm not happy about the looters and things like that. I know it's not as bad as it was initially.
Yeah.
But I'm all for peaceful protesting. I think you should protest, and you, especially in America, these first world countries, you should have your right of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's a lot of systemic racism that needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they're talking. I'm glad they're speaking out. And I hope actually there's some real change by real victims of it.
There you go. Well, just in the case over in Victoria, I mean, one thing I was just asking was, why didn't you just wait? You know? Mm. I'm just saying, let's just say theoretically, if the cases were a result of someone, I mean, because someone did have it in the crowd, basically at a Black Lives Matter protest, that's proven. Let's say, theoretically, if it did come from the whole corona, from the protest, and it did spread, why didn't they just wait out the protest, you know what I mean, into a more appropriate time?
Mm.
Because then, because what's happened now is this country has worked so hard to keep the numbers down. Like, there are some countries out there that are now suffering immensely, like Brazil. Brazil has had 45,000 and cases, deaths and rising.
Mm.
Now, of course, you know, everyone's saying that, you know, the coronavirus death toll is inflated, but we're just looking at the numbers here. And in Australia, we've only had, well, not only, but we've had 100 deaths, basically, give or take.
Mm.
And now you're putting so many more people at risk because of what's happened in Victoria.
They're going to close the borders.
Oh, they probably are going to close the borders. Like, WA is, like, way ahead. We're in phase 4, you know, pretty much almost everything is back to normal. We're on the recovery, and now Victoria has actually taken a plunge.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All right, getting back to MMA, this is a quick segue.
Yeah.
Because we've been posting some stuff on our Instagram, on our third post ever, we actually had a supporter of, because I posted, so is Dana White, Mr. Han for UFC Ireland, and I put a little bit of a graphic up on Instagram and that. Got a supporter from an actual UFC fighter who commented, who must have agreed, Andre Suk. I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname because it's very difficult. I think he fought Sean O'Malley, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
We see you, buddy. You keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah. I want to see him fighting again because he was on the Andrade versus Zhang card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to see him fight again. It'd be good to see. All right, so props to you, my man. Thank you for the support.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did you want to talk about, my friend?
Dude, I want to talk about this, something that's just happened recently in Australia.
Mm.
So I was reading about this on the news. There's this study that's going on right now in Australia about cannabis and how it could actually potentially aid children with severe autism.
Mm.
And and what they found out is that children who had severe autism, like, tend to lash out, an aggressive nature. Basically, they were on the cannabis resin, and the people, and then there was some on the placebo, and the ones who took the cannabis resin had a substantially better effect.
Yeah.
You know, a lot more calm. They're making more calculated decisions.
Yeah.
And now what they're doing is they're pushing for a higher sample size, and they're going to keep going with the study into November. And I thought to myself, well, what does this mean for us? I mean, because in Australia, cannabis CBD, or sorry, marijuana CBD, is now legal.
Yeah, we know that marijuana is legal in Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal in Canberra. We know in America and a lot of the states it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it's anytime soon we're going to get marijuana legal. It'll probably take a good 5 to 10 years, probably. I don't see it happening anytime soon.
No.
But it's great to see for the medical use.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously earlier we were talking about recreational use. But for medical use, hell yeah. Because it works really well for a lot of old people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Calming people down. I know some people have used it for Parkinson's. They've used it for Parkinson's, and they get a lot of tremors with their hands and that. Yeah. It's great to see.
Mm.
It's great to see because it works really well at sorting them out, and they get their life back, you know?
Oh, I mean, it just shows that, you know, marijuana, I mean, because back growing up, you used to think, like, marijuana was for losers. Like, do you ever have that thing where that what is it, in primary school, we have like some sort of big truck like rolls up and says, don't do drugs, kid, drugs are bad. I never got
that one, unfortunately.
No, well, I got it. And they would always say, don't do weed, don't do marijuana. Do you know why? Because it's the gateway drug. Like, you want to become a loser? Do you want to do it?
Yeah, you want to become a loser? Yeah, like some lazy guy?
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing, though. You tell kids not to do something so much, they're going to want to do it. By the end of it, I think I came off that truck like, you know what, maybe you do want to do a little bit of weed.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Not at that age, anyway. Not at that age.
But, you know, it shows that it has some medical practices, so maybe it might change the public perception.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I'd love to see it having more use in the medical field, because it seems so, but I'd just like to see a little bit more research when it comes to the autism and things like that. Obviously, it does have those kinds of those depressing of the nervous system and helps it relax and things like that. Yeah, it would work really well with things that are like, autism, Parkinson's, things like that, where you do get a little bit of erratic behavior and there's a bit of overexcitation. That would work really well in those cases, I think.
Yeah, I mean, another thing I was also going to... I just wanted to ask you, did you watch the season 3 first episode of Dark?
I didn't. No, you missed out, didn't you?
I missed out too. So for the people who are watching right now, season 3 of our favourite TV show has dropped, and it's probably the last TV show.
The final season, so I would take that with a pinch of salt, but I would think that it's probably the last one.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant TV show.
So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Dark is a Netflix TV show. Probably one of my favorite TV shows right now. It's one of my favorite TV shows. And the reason why we like it so much is because it just shows the power of good writing. It is a German TV show with no actors in particular that stand out. Like, I didn't know any of the actors.
It's all in German. I actually watch it with the German audio with the... with the English subtitles, and I must say the music in it is so ominous and scary, and it's so well written. I'm just looking at it now, it's got 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah,
I can imagine on Rotten Tomatoes it's probably a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's really well thought out, really well paced, and the acting in it as well is just, it's so good. But also the storyline just gets you. And it talks about a whole bunch of things to do with like time travel and space and time. And it actually talks about real scientific theories that people have when it comes to time.
It takes little bits of like scientific theories and it kind of fleshes them out and makes a nice story behind them. Oh, it's brilliant. It's so good. And the music for suspense and things like that. I mean, you may have spoiled it a little bit with a bit of time travel, but that's all good.
I mean,
but I must say, it does go into a lot of like different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, and there's a lot of mystery. As you can imagine, it is a darker kind of TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely recommend. I'm so excited to watch probably the first. I'll probably watch the first episode today.
Since we're on the occasion of like TV shows, just shows the importance of originality and original ideas. Like the biggest thing that's sort of irritating me right now when it comes to TV shows and movies is reboots, like unnecessary reboots or unnecessary sequels. Like one of the movies that just irritated me the most last year, or two movies, was the reboot or the next movie to the Rambo series. Come on, man. Sylvester Stallone, he's 70. He needs to stop, man. You can only play the tough guy role for a certain period of time, and then it just wears off. And also, like, Terminator. We did not need another Terminator movie.
No one asked for it.
No one asked for it.
They gave it anyway.
And it was trash. I didn't watch it. First 10 minutes into it, I'm not going to tell you what happened because I'm not in the spoiler mood, but first 10 minutes into the movie, I actually like threw my remote. I'm like, fucking turn this shit off.
It's not good stuff. The thing about, it's almost like if they make something and they try something risky, there just seems to be two trends. They make something risky that's good, has a good reception,
and then they make two or three, and they just water it, and they squeeze the life out of that theory. And then they do sequels, and then they're like, you didn't know this tiny plot hole, so we're going to give you a prequel that nobody asked for. And then the other one, the second trend is reboots.
Yeah.
Anything that was a good original idea, and Disney does it all the time, if they do a reboot and it does well, then they're like, hey, let's make another one. Or let's make a live action.
Yeah.
Lion King.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm sorry. You have really good people for the voice acting and things like that.
Yeah.
But
Beyonce.
But nobody asked for it. And it's a shot for shot.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me, Lion King. That was part of my childhood. Don't mess with it. Yeah. It's good. Don't make it a live action. I didn't ask for it. Didn't they do it with was it Tarzan or something? What was it? What's the one where it's like the bear and Mowgli? What is it? What's that called?
Jungle Book.
They did the same thing with Jungle Book. I don't want to see it. I'm sorry. I don't want to see it. I'm sure they would just make money off a lot of kids. They're like, ooh, but like there's not. It's all shot for shot stuff. There's no difference.
Well, one of the biggest things that's going on right now is no one really wants to go to the movies much anymore. Everyone's watching, you know, like Netflix or all the streaming sites. Like, there's so many.
They're
of them
the ones that made the most. Yeah. Of
like COVID. Amazon Prime, Stan, Disney Plus. What's another one? Apple.
Hulu.
You know, there's so many. See, this is the thing I got to ask you, because now in a digital age, we have so many TV shows. Like, how many episodes can you watch before you realize, yeah, I'm gonna stick to it? For me, I feel like I need to go at least 2-3 episodes, but the pilot's got to be good, man. Like, the pilot's got to grab me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially when it's a bit of a different kind of TV show. I can usually tell by the first one. Yeah. I can usually tell by the first one if it's like, I would say maybe two episodes is as much as it takes. Mm-hmm. One probably, you know, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Two probably max, because if I have to see half the series and when it's just getting good, I don't want to see it.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to also mention is, like, there's some TV shows out there that, you know, they start really, really good, and then at some point they just fly off the radar. Like, for me, my girlfriend just got me watching Prison Break just recently.
Prison Break. For the two actors from the Flash TV show. Yeah.
So Prison Break, season one is killer. Like, it could not have been a better season. Like, the pacing was done so well, and this TV show came out quite some time ago, but then it gets to season three and it just does not stick the landing, and it's just there's like episodes where you're like, oh, okay, come on. And there was some there's some plot holes, and then there was some, like, they went back on some ideas. But it was built around this whole idea of breaking out of prison, right? Like, how many, like, something needs to happen. You know what I mean? It was also the situation I had with Suits, you know? Suits, great TV show.
I stopped watching that around season four.
Yeah, because it's built on one idea. And then they literally, and the one thing that they were trying to avoid from happening finally happens at some point during the seasons, or at some point during it, and then they just lose the grip, you know what I mean? And not only that, but it also comes down to, like, pacing. Like, I stopped watching Riverdale after, like, season two, because I just couldn't take it anymore. Amount of shit that goes down in one episode usually goes down in the whole season of some TV shows.
Mm.
Like, in episodes, somebody dies, somebody develops some new skill, somebody finds out some sort of, like, traumatizing family secret. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. And you put it into, like, 5-minute sequences.
You can usually tell. Each trailer has the same thing as well. Segueing to something I really want to talk about, which is the Snyder Cut coming out in 2021. We don't have an official, it just says 2021. It could be the end of 2021, because I know they have a lot of footage to sift through. They've got to do a lot of editing and things like that. I'm excited, because there was a lot of people, they made websites, they made videos saying release the Snyder Cut, all the actors were doing it. And it looked like it wasn't going to happen. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. Then Snyder did a watch party. I think it was Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you know, soon after they released that they're going to do the Snyder. I'm so excited for it, because they have so much footage. Apparently, they used very little for the film.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just tell you what happened was, there was a lot of disagreement between, I believe, Zack Snyder and the company. Like, they wanted, Zack Snyder had a vision and he wanted to do this Justice League, and he was doing all this footage. So much footage was filmed. I think the main thing that people wanted was Superman wearing the black Superman suit, like it does in the comics. Because the biggest issue with Batman vs. Superman, that it was a clash of two very, very popular comics from two different timelines. One was Superman Doomsday comic and Superman, sorry, and a Batman comic. I can't remember what it was called. I'll have to find out. But the reason why it was so good, but the reason why, sorry, it was so heavily criticized is because they just tried to take points from two different comics and they just did not blend. And it was too mashed together. It
didn't blend either. Also, there was that other director that went and did his own kind of way. He tried to do his own thing, whereas it was originally Snyder's film, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, so then that's what happened in Justice League. He filmed all this footage. There was so much that went down, and then there was little bits of it, but then the studio just, like, kind of jumped ship, or there was some disagreements. It was also the problem that we had with Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad, there was so much footage filmed in Jared Leto.
Especially with Jared Leto doing The Joker, and it all got sidelined, and apparently he was supposed to be, like, they were, you know, hyping up, he's going to be a really, really good Joker, and they were really impressed with him.
Yeah.
And then a lot of that, apparently like 10% of it we got to see on camera, and then Jared Leto gets sidelined, and we know that there's, everyone says Jaquin, but I'm pretty sure you meant to say Joaquin. It's Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, the issue was he said he filmed up to 30 minutes worth of footage, at least, and they showed like five minutes.
Yeah.
And the other problem is I actually liked Suicide Squad, you know what I mean? I liked Suicide Squad right up to that airport scene. Something happened at the airport scene and then we just went, nuts. Let's make it.
Refresh my memory, what was the airport scene?
Okay, so the bad guy in the movie is basically Cara Delevingne's character, and then once the squad's assembled and the bad, whatever, the villain literally takes over the whole city. And the reason why the movie was so bad because the villain was just so dull.
I thought it was a train station.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh,
it
wasn't in it. Yeah, it was a train station. It takes over
the whole city.
Yeah.
And then basically they all meet at the airport and gear up. After that gear up scene, they hop on the helicopter, and that's when just things went downhill from there.
I found it, it was just a bit weird. I thought Margot Robbie was a decent Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Will Smith was a really good Deadshot. The Captain Boomerang was pretty good.
I like Joel Kinnaman's Colonel Rick Flag.
He's Australian himself, isn't he?
No, he's Swedish.
What? Oh, no, Joel Kinnaman. no, because he was in one of our favourite shows, Altered Carbon.
Which is another great TV show, by the way.
No, who was the guy that plays Captain America?
Chris Evans?
Captain America. No, not Captain America, Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang. Oh, Jai Brooks Courtney, something like that.
Jai Courtney.
Yeah.
He was close. Yeah, close. Because he was in a lot of those movies. What was it about? It was. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Skip that.
He was a good character, but he just wasn't really developed enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I found that there was too many characters.
Yeah.
For what it was, for the length of the film, and I think Suicide Squad would have been good as a TV show.
Yes.
Because with the amount of if you're considering the amount of characters they had, they really should have had a TV show or cut out some of those characters for a movie. There was too many, you couldn't flesh out the thing, and they were a bit weird with the editing, like giving them a bio. I'm like, really, even a bio, because you can't actually show their story, their origins and that? It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
They didn't do that in movies. It was strange.
It's just they were wasted. They didn't. Some of them weren't developed enough because there was just so many. Like, what was it? There was a hangman. I can't remember the character's name. He shouldn't have been it. The katana chick wasn't really worth being in there.
No.
You know, Killer Croc was like a character that everyone's been waiting to get on the big screen for a while. And he was kind of just wasted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like they really could have just built them up and maybe had their own origins or something like that.
Or maybe just had five or six is enough. Five's usually enough. Like, you know, it just, yeah.
It gets too difficult. It gets way too difficult. That's why the Marvel ones worked, because you already had some origins. You already knew what their relationships were. And then each of these standalones that were outside of Avengers had a smaller group of people.
Because
imagine if you tried to have Civil War and you had Hulk and you had Thor.
Yeah.
And things like that. It would get a bit too hectic.
Speaking of Thor, we got a real life Thor who's going to fight the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about this because it's fucking hilarious.
It's Thor Bjornsson, right?
Yeah.
Versus Eddie Hall. That's a very weird kind of fight to make. Do you know if it'll be streamed on YouTube or something like that?
I don't know, but here's the situation. Like, Eddie Hall won the World's Strongest Man, I believe, in 2017.
Yeah.
And Thor was really, really irritated because, you know, he believed that he won, but he actually didn't. And it was proven in a YouTube video that he didn't because he was doing something called double dipping when you do the shoulder press.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when you, what I believe double dipping was is you can't bend the knees more than once.
He almost did like a bit of a hitch just trying to catch it and then do it again to get it up. And it really should have been, it shouldn't have been counted.
Yeah. So then what happened was Thor tried to get his back on Eddie by going after his deadlift world record, which he succeeded in. By the way, and I believe he deadlifted
501 kilos.
And then after the deadlift, he called out Eddie Hall to a boxing match, which I just thought was ridiculous because this is literally going to be like watching an episode, watching Godzilla versus King Kong. If you think about it,
I've seen Eddie Hall do a couple of, I think he did a couple of amateur boxing fights. It just doesn't look, it doesn't look smooth. It doesn't look right. They're just really big. Look, we're expecting either a really short knockdown or something like that, or we're expecting a really drawn out where they're gassed for quite a while.
Yeah, but the thing is, here's why I just want to say my money's on Eddie. He's got a gas tank.
Don't get me wrong. He used to be a really good swimmer.
He was a competitive swimmer. He was at a national level.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still got that gas tank, basically. It's just he can carry his body weight. So we'll see, even though Thor has a background. I think he was a basketball player before he was in strongman.
I'm not too sure. I was just looking at this now. So Half Thor went and said it's official in September 2021 in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're going to be fighting. So they must be selling tickets and things like that. It's a good thing they put it in September 2021 because I do not know when we're going to start getting... some fights like live. When are we actually gonna, we don't even know if we're gonna get festivals by the end of the year. Like,
well, that's a good point, man. I mean, you know, this COVID thing is coming to an end in WA, but the big question is, when's it gonna end across the world? I guess that's just some food for thought that we'll leave you with, because that's all the time that we have for today.
Thanks for listening to the MMA Hour for the Last Set podcast. I hope you really enjoyed. We'll bring out more podcasts. If you want to look at our Instagram page, where we have a link tree that will have all our respective podcasting services and anything that is our content related, we post up there and we give you updates on how we're doing. Our best one would be to stick to our Instagram. And if you can give us on our YouTube, a like, subscribe. Keep those notifications on so you can see when we post a new video. Joe, thanks for
take care, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for that. Bye. Peace.